So, Chavis Lavavis, Shar Chesh Ben Nefesh Perak Gimel, Eifin Chaf, the 20th special meditation a person should engage in order to be an Eved Hashem, to be a real servant of Hashem. And he says what that is, the 20th thing to keep in mind is what a person should think when he has wealth of any sort. Number one, he should think about how he acquired this wealth and make sure that it was done in a proper fashion. And the most important thing is to figure out and to give very careful consideration to how he is spending his money. And if he's using his money to fulfill all of his obligations towards the Rabbanu Shalom, who gave him the money, and all towards all the people for whom Hashem gave him the money. You have to keep in mind two things. Number one, did you do what God wants? He gave it to you. And he didn't give it to you for yourself. He only gave it for you to give out to other people. And it is merely a pikadon. The money is merely entrusted to you, and you are the bank teller. It doesn't belong to you. The money belongs to the bank, belongs to the banker, and you're just the teller to distribute it to the people who have rights over this money. Shouldn't in a million years dream that God gave you this money for yourself? Absolutely, Hashem did not give it to you for you. He gave you money, and he said, it's really my money, said Hashem. But you know what? All he wants you to do is, it's my money, said Hashem, it's still my money, even though you earned it, it's still mine. But you know what? If you'll give away of my money 20% to the poor, so I'll let you use 80% for yourself. If you find you have a windfall, you can give more than 20%. It's my money, but you know, I like you, and I'm so appreciative. You're doing a good job giving out the money. I'll let you keep 80% for yourself. 90 if you think you can't afford the meister is only good enough. Chaimesh is even better. So if you give 20% away to those I want you to give it to, and for whom I really gave you the money in the first place, you can use 80%. But it's not your money. It is not your money. It is only a pikadon. And if you don't do a good job, Hashem will take it away from you. So it might not happen right away. It might take a year or two, a year or three. So last night someone was coming to me, someone came collecting for tzedakah, they told me all the people who lost so much money, they lost everything in this year's down market. And this fellow lost $9 million, this fellow lost $26 million. All these people who were doing well for a couple of years, they were greedy, whatever it was, and they got it, but they lost it. So not forever. We have this idea that money stays with us forever. Like it's a guarantee. Once we got it, it's like, I'm guaranteed the rest of my life. No, not guaranteed at all. So when a person thinks, has this in mind, this cheshbon, that the money is not his, it still belongs to Hashem, even though it's in your checking account, it belongs to God, and you're just a pakid, you're a clerk, and this is a pikadon. So then really, you have a different respect for your money, and you're much more careful how you spend it, you appreciate it more every day, and every single day you'll thank Hashem for keeping the money in your account. Like this, you thank Hashem when you made the big windfall profit, but then you forget about the Rabbanu Shalom. No, if you realize it's Hashem's money all the time, then you'll thank Hashem every morning. Baruch Hashem is still here, Hashem still trusts me. I'm so thankful Hashem still trusts me to be his clerk, and he's letting me keep 80% for myself. And the truth of the matter is that if you lose the money, it's not so hard. You won't feel bad about the money itself so much. You realize it's not your money in the first place. And it won't be hard for you to spend money in buying yourself a new pair of tefillin. It won't be so hard to buy yourself a new pair of tzitzis and a new talis, which you need so badly. And you won't have a hard time spending money for your children's tuition. You won't craft so much about that. And you certainly won't have such a hard time crafting about tzedakah, because it's not your money. And Hashem only gave it to you to really test you, to see how well you lose the money. And the main thing he says, number one, another two values you'll have from this. Number one, you won't be jealous of other people. Because jealousy is really the secret sin that we don't even talk about. Certain things we don't even talk about. So we all don't mind saying about it. For some reason, we're not embarrassed to tell people, you know, I speak Lashon Hara. People tell me, oh, Lashon Hara, you know, I have a Shir and Shemir Salash, and first I speak Lashon Hara, then I learn the Shemir Salash. People have no, they're not embarrassed to tell me the Lashon Hara. They're not embarrassed to tell me certain chatoyim, they're not embarrassed. They're not embarrassed. Not embarrassed to say different things. But certain sins they're ashamed of. And one of them is people are ashamed to say they're jealous of other people. They don't want to admit, that's hard to admit. I'm really jealous and envious of other people. But we all are. It's probably one of our biggest sins. So it's constantly going on. We're constantly jealous of other people's wealth and advantage and acquisitions. And we really, as usual, think that God made a mistake. Why did he give him all that money? I think I deserve it more than he does. And it's one of those cases where we put God, we're always judging God. The truth is, it's not just that we're jealous of people. We are constantly judging God. You know, we're constantly putting God, judging the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. If you think about it, and that's really Moreh Midas Adin. You know, if you want to, it's a thing called Midas Adin. Midas Adin is when Hashem is strict with us. Hashem is angry at us. Hashem is strict justice. It's a very simple cheshbon. When does a person get strict justice? If we're always judging Hashem, it's Midah Keneged Midah. It's measure for measure. We're constantly judging the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and we're saying, you know, God, I don't like the way you did this one. That wasn't such a good, wise move. You know, this guy, why'd you give him such money? But he's such a nothing, such a nobody. Him? This good for nothing? This guy? This idiot? You give him money, not me. So we're constantly judging the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So, Midah Keneged Midah, we have, it's a custom design of God. This is the great rule of Yiddish guy. God's custom design. There's many different gods, you know. We believe in pantheism. You think there's only one God. You think we believe in monotheism. This might come a big shock to you. You came to a Jewish shul that there's one God. Monotheism, you think we believe in that? We believe in pantheism. There's many gods. God takes on the shape of what we make of ourselves. And then God, we are not a reflection of God. God's really a reflection of us. Whatever image we cast ourselves in, that's the image that God assumes reflecting us. So to one person, God's a kind, gentle, sweet God. Another person, God's a fiery, furious God. All kinds of different gods. It all depends on our personality. So if I'm a nasty, furious, nasty person, I'm always blowing up. Hashem's going to blow up me. There's been a lot of violence in my life. If I'm a kind, gentle person, well, the world will be kind to me and gentle to me. So if we're always judging God, God judges us. So he says the main thing to remember is that money, when it comes to money or all property, don't be jealous of others, because other rabbis, it doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to him. And the person who has a lot of money has a lot of responsibility. And as we know, Chazal say that the test of wealth is harder than the test of poverty. It's harder to be rich than to be poor. I know it's hard to accept that. Most of us would say, I don't care, God, I'll take it. I'll go for it. I'm willing to take the test. Just try me, God. But the truth is, wealth is harder than poverty. So the money is God, so you wouldn't be mekana to other people. And also, if you know the money is given out by God, it's totally with his cheshbonus, ein mezalzel baniyim beglal niyusam, the wise person does not look down upon the poor because of their poverty. Something very difficult. Very difficult. Almost very difficult. I dare say, I think we'd all have a big, we all do have a big problem with that. Not to see a poor person, our first attitude is, poor person. Person's around collecting. Some lower caste, lower level person. And we're mezalzel. And the truth is, I could be marik on this thing for hours and hours, but the truth is, this is the theme of my entire sefer, the Tzedakah Treasury. And so I'll just tell you to go look it up over there. Why should I be marif, really? I want to get to the next meditation. But I'll just remind you of, I think, one of the most beautiful things I have in that sefer for the Chavetz Chaim, from his son. The Chavetz Chaim's son writes about his father. That his father would always say, I think I've told you this many times, that don't ever look down upon the poor person. An araman gist menem blai in fees. The poor person, from heaven, God pours lead into his feet. So when you look down at this poor person, you say, he's so lazy, he's so dull. You know, why don't you pick yourself up and by your bootstraps and get a job and get moving, and, you know, it's so easy. It's jobs, so, you know, come on, there's things to do. Do something with your life, make something. You say, why are you so verschlumped? Get your act together. So the Chavetz Chaim said, you should know that this lethargy and this inability of the poor person to get his act together, that's exactly the curse of poverty. The curse of poverty is not that Hashem says you won't have money. The curse is that Hashem says you won't have energy. You won't have brains. You won't have initiative. You won't have the ability to hustle. That itself, that's the curse. The curse is not the lack of money, it's the lack of energy and ability. And it's like Hashem is dragging him down. He is like being schlepped away from the ability to act on his own behalf. So we should never make fun of the, just like we would make fun of a sick person. He's never sick. It could happen to anyone. A sick person, you have rechmanas on. It's not his fault. Why did the person get sick? So we don't look down sick people. So to just like there's a gzeira of sickness. There's a gzeira of a poor spirit. It's poor in spirit. I really Chazal say ain't only el b'das. Real poverty is in the mind. Chazal mean in the context of that literal Gemara means that the real person who's poor is the person who is intellectually impoverished. But I always understand that to mean also in the sense that the person who is financially impoverished, the gzeir was he should be intellectually and vitality-wise, energy-wise, have an energy deficit in himself. So, Mikitzer, he says, a person, the 20th meditation is to dread meditate that all money comes from God. He disposes it as he sees fit. We own nothing. We own absolutely nothing. It all belongs to him. And we use our money well to glorify God, as it says in Mishlei, Kabez Hashem Ehoincha, give glory to God from your wealth, and this is what we should keep in mind. That's the 20th meditation. But as I said, the 21st is what I really want to spend a little time on today. The 21st, my friends, I think that this is one of the most amazing of the meditations in the entire section here, and maybe the entire Sefer. I'm going to tell you something which I think can have a dramatic effect on all of our lives. This is like a vintage Chavis Lavavis. 20, we've heard that elsewhere. That the money's not ours, it belongs to God. We can find many other sources. Number 21 is something which is very, very original, very unique. So the 21st meditation is that a person should think and put a lot of thought into thinking. A person should always ask himself, how high can I go? How high can I fly? There's no such thing as staying where I am today. I have to do something which people don't like to do, and that is called goal setting. People like goal setting. I told you I once took this time management course to get my day organized and help me manage my time and appointments. But it turned out that the course also has something called goal setting. You have to set goals for your day, and goals for your week, and goals for your year, and goals for your life. I hated that part. I hated that. Goals. What's that? Goals. Like they're so, goals to do more, and it was proven scientifically that people have goals accomplish much more, and the more successful, like percentage-wise, people with goals, short-term, long-term, accomplish much more. I don't want to set goals because it's like I have to do something. I'm lazy. I don't want to set. Do me a favor. Look, I'm very happy. Give me a shear this morning. Give another shear. I came to davening. Leave me alone. Just like, no, you want me to leave you alone. So I want to leave myself alone. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. You know, I was listening to a hesped of one of the Talmidim of my Shver of Gifted, Zichron Levracha, the Talmud in South Africa, his Rosh Hashiva in South Africa. His name is Rebbe Azriel Goldfein. He's quite a bit older than I am, and when I came to Yeshiva, he already is gone. He's 10 years older than I. But he had learned with my father, the Chavrusa, when he was a butler for many years. And when I came to Yeshiva, my Shver was still a powerful, powerful man, but he was in his 40s. But he was in his 30s, he was a volcano, a Mamaj volcano. When I came to Yeshiva, when he was in his late 40s, he was powerful. But in his 30s, he was just about Vesuvius. So he was learning during that period. And I was learning Chavrus with my Shver, and it was very difficult to learn Chavrus with him because his mind was, I mean, he just saw genius at work. It was very hard to, it was hard enough a shear was very difficult because he prepared it already. He was flying away in about 2 minutes. We were all lost. It's like, Mama, imagine yourself on the wings outside on a 747 flying at 600 miles an hour. You're trying to hold on the outside. I mean, it's not shy. You just off in about 2 seconds. You're gone. It's like 747 flying. Chavrusa was a little slower, but still his mind was great. So he was injured. I was listening to this hesped he gave in South Africa. He sent me tapes. And it was a 3-hour hesped. And he mentioned there that he was learning with Chavrusa, and they were studying, and they were struggling for hours and hours on something, and couldn't find an answer. And they had one answer. They had one answer. It wasn't great, but it was an answer. So he says to Rav Gifter, the Chavrusa, Rabbi Goldfein says to, okay, maybe we just leave it well enough alone. I think we've like exhausted this subject. We spent already a couple hours on this. Can we go on? What? What do you mean? You have to go to the ultimate. You have to get the emes. You can't just stop in the middle. I want a better answer. I'm not satisfied with this answer. We're going to just keep on going over it again and go further. And it was really very difficult. He spent hours, he would think for hours and discuss some little minor points. Come on, I'm not really interested in this. That rabbi, don't mind, I'd like to go on. You know, there's a whole Gemara to learn. And he certainly was interested in learning a lot of Gifter, but when his mind was engaged in something and seeking the truth, he just kept on going and going and going. He just didn't suffice with some measly, schwache answer, which wasn't really the truth. He had, it was like a built-in goal to go to the ultimate emes. As like, I wrote in that article in the Jewish Observer that the one has a famous story about Rav Preda. That Rav Preda had a Talmud, and every time Rav Preda gave a shiur, he had to repeat the shiur to the Talmud 400 times. It was a great thing of Rav Preda. I'm just telling you that part of the Gemara. So Rav Gifter would say, what's shot in this Talmud? Rav Preda had repeated him 400 times. What's it? He had ADD or something? He had attention deficit disorder? Was he slow? Did he have a low IQ? Well, you know, if you can't explain it to somebody, if the 3 or 4 times, 400 times is not going to help. So what's the shot 400 times? It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous. If he's slow, it just 400 doesn't make a difference. If you don't get it in a couple of times, you're never going to get it. So we get learned shot. No, the Talmud was a gewaltige Eloi. Fakir was a great Talmud. He was a genius, and that was exactly the point. After every shear, after prayed to give a shear once, he would come up with questions. Everybody doesn't understand this, doesn't understand that. Prayed with the answer and say, okay, I'll go over it again. I'll explain it to you again. And after the second explanation, say, come on, maybe I have this question, that question. If you've ever been to a shir by Rashiv, maybe I'll explain it to you once, twice, three times. Rav Preda had the patience, and not just the patience. Patience alone won't work over here. You have to have this goal of finding the ultimate truth, that he would allow the student to ask him 400 times and clarify every jot and tittle, every possible detail, every no cloud, no stones left unturned, absolute emes. So the Chavetz Chaim says that a person has to have goals in Yiddishkeit, and both quantitative and qualitative goals. And we just can never, that's the sine qua non, we cannot remain where we are. We have to have goals to get higher and greater. And it's one of the axioms of human nature that really we don't want to go much higher. Because it's anti-gravity. Just like there's gravity, physical gravity pulling us down, there's spiritual gravity which wants to make us just stay where we are and be couch potatoes, spiritual couch potatoes. SCP syndrome. Spiritual couch potatoes. We suffer from SCP, spiritual couch potatoes. So if you could look at yourself, go home today and look ourselves in the mirror and ask yourself, how am I different today than I was a year ago? Am I really different? Am I different than 10 years ago? The average person is not much different now than he was 50 years ago. And what he left the yeshiva with, whatever he left the yeshiva, pretty much with the same level of kashrus, and the same level of Lashon Hara, and the same kind of tefillin, and I still have the same tefillin for my bar mitzvah, and bother getting them replaced, even though they come from the lazy auxiliary shop over there in Temple Road Feisheker, this hasn't changed my tefillin, I haven't traded in my same tzitzis, and they're ripped, and they're dirty, and we're so mistabim on the same Shabbos, and have you any new Zemiris lately on Shabbos? Have you anything doing new on your Shabbos table? Have you increased your Hachal HaZorchim? Well, what have we improved in? If you really look in the mirror and ask how much you changed, it might be rather shocking. Chavzov says we got to change all the time, we got to grow all the time. So therefore, he says a person should yargalas mitchila lavodas Hashem shibiyachalto. But he says don't make a big mistake. It's a common mistake. Some people they're so interested in flying that they're not grounded, and they're so interested in flying like the new levels that they neglect to give themselves a basic fundamental Judaism. No. First, you have to have the basics. You have to be avodas Hashem biyachalto. And you have to do that by smother. Yasub about smother. You have to do that with Jesus. Until it becomes a hergel. Very interesting. Very fascinating. A lot to think about here. He says you have to do the basics first with a Jesus and with a repetition again and again until it becomes a hergel. Until it becomes a habit. habit. We're anti-habit, I thought. I thought we're anti-habits of our monks. We're anti-habits. We don't like habits. We say you shouldn't do things business in Lashon Lamada. We've had earlier in the Chavos Levavos where he decries mechanical rote. There's a habit means there's good habit, there's bad habit. There's a good habit to get into a habit to come on time to davening every day. As a matter of fact, to be 10 minutes early to put on 10 minutes early is on time. Make sure you put your towels and film on. So when bracha starts at 7:30, you're there with your towels and film, the brikas of shachar said, and you're ready and waiting to start. It's a good habit. And it becomes a habit. Some people have a big hard time with that. They have a hard time getting up on time. They just don't mean to get up on time. So you have to develop habits. That's not go mechanical. That's fine. So you have a habit that you come to davening on time. And if you have a habit that when you say Ashi Yotzar, you don't run around and you're running already and driving away. Leave the bathroom, Ashi Yotzar, you wait the 20 seconds it says in the poster, read it from the poster, read it from your head, a good habit. Benching, always bench from a sitter, good habit, it's a habit. I don't just fly my mind around it. Bench, sitter, put my jacket on, put my hat on, bench, it's a habit. There are good habits. These habits are not what the Navi had in mind when he said about the Hiya Rasamasi Mitzvah Nanashah Milamada. No, so he says first you have to have a basic, good Torah habits. You have your Daf Yomi every day, you have your Kviyas on learning every day, you have your Mishnayos every day, you have your Tillim every day, you have this you learn every day, you learn with your children every day, you have your Chavrusas, you learn with your wife good things every day, you come on time for supper, you have the basics. But then, when you've done what every Jew has to do, the basics, then, listen to this, Yishtagel Lalos, Ladargos, Nosafos, Bavoyas Hashem, Shein Lamal Miyacholto. You should want to do new acts of service to God, which are above your present ability. V'yishtokei b'libel agila, you should have a yearning to come to them. And you should think in your mind, how can I get there? And you should think, how can I get there? So, for instance, so we're all good Jews. Have we been mekayim the 613th mitzvah? And the 613th mitzvah is? What's the 613th mitzvah? It's the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. Do you write a Sefer Torah? Do you have plans to write a Sefer Torah for yourself? Do you have plans on your agenda? You putting away money for it? Do you have an IRA account? A Roth IRA account? You have an IRA, a retirement fund? Oh, you have a retirement. Do you have a Torah fund? Do you have a Sefer Torah fund? Not yet. The retirement fund you have. Not the Sefer Torah fund. What's with the Sefer Torah? Now, I'm not sure if Sefer Torah goes even onto the basics or it goes into the Malm Yechalto. So the Teretz is, you really do have a Sefer Torah fund because you're holding the Shita of the Achrayim and Rishayim who say, Yaitz in the mitzvah, Ksiva Sefer Torah today by buying Sfarim. You buy Jewish books? Yeah. So, okay, Yaitz. So the man was Yaitz, the basics. There's plenty of Rishayim. The Rosh says, Yaitz today by buying texts for learning. No one learns the Sefer Torah today. But Athol Pekain, everyone agrees that there's still a mitzvah to write Sefer Torah. It's definitely a fine thing to write Sefer Torah. But you were yaitz already also. Because you probably bought a parsha sometime when there's some shul wrote a Sefer Torah together. You wrote some letters. And there's another machlokes, maybe you yaitz a Sefer Torah with shutfis, you yaitz with a partnership. So if you bought a parsha, that could be good enough. Even letters could be good enough. So you yaitz. But it's not the full mitzvah. The ultimate mitzvah is that you should have your own Sefer Torah. So you got to think of ways now. Now that you've done the basics, I need to do everything right. Right? Everything, the whole Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim is in your back pocket. And you have Chosh Mishpat in your left back pocket, right? Even as you have in your vest pocket over here, and you have your day on this side. So you've done everything a Jew has to do. So now you start thinking about some little extras maybe. What are you going to do extras? Sefer Torah funds. So you're starting that fund tomorrow, right? You're going to the bank, you're starting a new fund called the Sefer Torah fund. So you have to think of one second. Let me talk to myself. Sefer Torah? I can't afford a Sefer Torah. A decent Sefer Torah is $45,000 today, $50,000. If I do it, I want to do it right already. Easy $50,000. So beyond my ability, I can't afford $50,000. Where am I going to get $50,000 from? The answer is if I really wanted it, I'd get it. I have no question about it. If I wanted $50,000, why am I talking to this poor? Why am I speaking to that poor little Yonis, Yosef Chaim HaKoyen over here? You're such a fine. Why don't I talk to myself? That's what I should do. Why? Where's my Sefer Torah fund? I mean, I don't have a retirement fund either. That's the mila. No one can accuse me. I don't have an IRA. I don't have a retirement. I don't have these problems. So I'm a little ahead of you. But where's my Sefer Torah fund? So I think that tomorrow I should go to the bank and I should make a Sefer Torah fund and start depositing. Please add there. I think tomorrow I'm going to do that. Thanks for the idea. Believe that tomorrow I've got to go to the bank and start, I'm serious, my own Sefer Torah fund. It's $50,000. Where am I getting $50,000 from? Well, the president, I guess, for a raise, it's one eitzah. That's, I can start right here. Speak to the president. I'll see you after this year. But that's one good, smart move. And chametz only sell once a year, so that's not an eitzah. That's gone. So I will work on it. So says the chametz involved is when I start dreaming about serving Hashem beyond my ability, $50,000, and I have a shchukah for it. And I really yearn for that. And I think all the time, how can I get some extra money in over here? How can I get some extra money? And I daven for Hashem. And I really want, he says, V'yavaki Yishmael, b'keinus, b'liboy, b'matzpunay, shi'azuloy, v'yamit, as koich allows the darkness, shehein, l'malam, yichot, and I push myself to go to levels that are beyond my present capacity, both in knowledge and in action. When I do it, the Rabbi Shalom will definitely fulfill my request. And Hashem will open up my mind that I'll understand better things I never understood in the past. And Hashem will give me a stronger mind. And it'll give me a stronger body. And it'll give me a stronger financial base. That I should go from darga to darga, from level to level in kiyum and mitzvahs, and I'll go beyond my present ability. I'll go beyond my present ability. That's it. So maybe you decide that it's time to fast Mondays and Thursdays. No, I'm not doing something tomorrow. That's sure not. Maybe I should. So Monday, the goal is big time thing to fast on Monday and Thursdays. I like that one. Should we work on that one? Well, if Hashem, if you have got the cheshit, you say, I've got to do tshuva, you know? It's about time. The time is coming to start doing tshuva. It's time to be pirish on Taivas Elam Hazar. Maybe it's time to give up pizza pie. Maybe it's time to give up ice cream. Maybe shine sight to give up ice cream. Maybe pizza and ice cream is ready. That's not, I don't know. I just can't see Rabbi Yashiv holding a piece of pizza pie in his mouth with an ice cream cone. I just don't see Rav Moshe Feinstein with pizza pie and an ice cream cone. I just don't see it. I can't picture my mind. I can't see Rav Chaim Kanievsky, God Lador, with pizza pie and ice cream cones. Just don't eat this kind of stuff. This is just goodies. They don't eat that kind of stuff. So maybe it's time I should give up pizza pie and ice cream cones. It's about time. I don't want to do that though. I don't want to give up pizza. I don't want to do it. Maybe I should. I can't. How can I give up pizza and ice cream cones? What? Pizza is great for my mouth. No. But if I decide I'm going to do it, and right now I'm not holding there, and it's too hard for me because I like that pizza, I like ice cream still, if I really want to do it, I realize what I gained, that a higher level of Kedusha, of Precious, of being away from this world, if I realize I get to a higher level, maybe fasting one day a week, maybe a half a day till Chatzais, maybe I start fasting, maybe I start doing something extra for the Rabbi Shalom. It's about time, it's not something so far out. You have a very common practice for simple Jews, for simple shoemakers and tailors would fast Mondays and Thursdays in Europe. It was a very common thing. So maybe it's time to reinstitute this. Maybe just have an extra hour. I know it's time. I'm like, be tired. Maybe just have an extra hour and learn harder. Learn an extra hour at night. Maybe I should do it. Maybe just hop around another hour. Maybe you get up an extra hour earlier. Maybe you get up an hour earlier. So you got some way to cut down. Maybe get rid of the newspapers and spend more time learning and get rid of the newspapers in my life. Maybe the Sunday Times. I gotta do something. Get more time to learn. So if a person right now is not holding over there, the person is going to say, you know, it's not for me, that's for big tzaddikim. You know, I don't want to be a fanatic. You know, you can't go too high, Rabbi. If I push myself, I'll break. It's not for me. This is hypocritical. I can't do that. If I'm going to fast on half a day once a week, that's already too much, Rabbi. It's not me. You know, that's, okay, look, it's true. Not everything's for everybody. But if you are enamored by a certain opportunity to serve Hashem, if the idea of writing the Sefer Torah, or the idea of learning an extra hour, or the idea of learning something new. So, you know, I before I left Eretz Yisrael just now, I told you about this doctor once. The doctor gets up 4:30 in the morning in Miami. My friend, the doctor, I told you about it for sure. He learned it from the guy who used to walk his dog. He said, the guy walks his dog at 4:30 in the morning, I shouldn't get up and learn at 4:30 in the morning. Well, this same doctor, he's a full-time radiologist, head of a whole radiology department in a big hospital with his yarmulke on, and with his forearm half a day there, called me up right before I went there. It's really nice. I says, Rabbi, before, listen, do me a big favor. You know, I get 4:30 to learn, but I just want to learn. I want to learn the Iyun. I want to learn in depth. I never went to yeshiva yet. I never went to yeshiva about tshuva. I never learned in depth. I need a chavrusa to learn in depth with me at 4:30 in the morning. I want to learn real good lumdish. And in America, I'm not going to find anybody, because if we went to get 4:30 in the morning. So if you're going to Eretz Yisrael, you please ask someone there to Eretz Yisrael. They're 7 hours ahead of us. Maybe you find me a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. Well, it's 4:30 here in America. In Israel, what time? It's 11 o'clock in the morning, 11:30 in the morning. And I'll pay him good money. And I'll have a chavrusa, and I'll pay the long distance bill. I'll have a chavrusa every morning. And he'll call me up at 11:30 his time. It's 4:30 my time. I will learn mamash b'yin. I'll prepare for him. I'll give him our mekaymas. I'll go through rishonim. I'll go through achronim. So would you please find me somebody who will learn with me like that? This guy doesn't give up. He's always coming with new ways to serve the Baruch Hu. He could easily go to Shemayim and say, God, what do you want from me? I grew up a treif. The Baruch Hu, I grew a treif. I was Mechal Shabbos. Aren't you happy I'm getting 4:30 and I'm learning 4:30 in the morning. I'm learning Daf Yomi. I'm learning some Masechta. You can get away with it. I'm not going to cause him a time on this guy getting 4:30 in the morning. No, he says, no, it's not enough. I want to be a Lamdan. I want to be a big Talmud Chacham. I want to really understand what it means to learn. I want a Chavrusa to really teach me what it means to really go deep into things and understand things. I want to go a new level. So first, listen, come on, you know, doctor, you never went to yeshiva. You're already 40 years old. What are you going to start with? Tos and the Sivis and Shav Shmaitzis and the Rashbas and the Ritvas and Reb Chaim Briskers. That's for kids in the yeshiva to learn and forget promptly when they leave the yeshiva. But you know, you're too old for this stuff. You'll never understand it. It's 40 years old. It's not for you. Just keep going. Don't forget about this stuff. You know, no, he has a cheshik for that. If that's his cheshik, even though it's really beyond his level right now, he doesn't have the training for it, he wasn't prepared for it, but if that's what he wants, he will daven for it, he will yearn for it, he'll dream about it, he'll make the time for it, he'll make the money for it, and he will go from level to level. And Hashem will give him the brains. We're talking, his brains really are not right now ready for that kind of alumnus. Hashem will give him new brains, says the Chavis Lubavis. Hashem will give him the time and the energy and the koyach. It's not easy to get 4:30 in the morning. He has a family, he has a wife, he has good children, he learns with them. He has a normal life. To get 4:30 is very difficult. He said Hashem will give him the seichel, and Hashem will give him everything necessary to go lemala miyachalto, above his present level. Like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya Memches, Ani Adonai lehecha, melamedcha lehoil, I will teach you lehoil, I will teach you in the best possible way, I will guide you on the path that you should take. If you want to take that path, because I put in your mind to go that path, and you hear that mini prophecy of Hashem telling you to take this new path, this new higher level, the high road, Hashem will give you the brains for it, Hashem will give you the guidance to go on a higher level. And he says, I'll give you an example, he says, I'll give you an example from common life. It's an incredible example. Imagine a person who was an architect and an engineer. An architect and engineer. What do you have to do to be an architect and engineer? First, you have to study, he says, exactly, you have to study Euclidean geometry, he says, Euclidus. You have to study geometry, the principles of Euclid, of geometry, of math, and of structure. And you study architecture, which is based on the geometric principles that were laid down by Euclidean geometry with space and then location. And then if you have the handasa maasis, and you have the engineering and the construction and the architecture skills that are basic and the essentials of practical techniques, then every architect comes up with his own new chedushim. Suddenly Frank Lloyd Wright comes up with his kind of, and Pei comes up with his kind of a thing, and every different architect has their own different way of doing things, and then there's all kinds of different shitas, and there's modernistic and postmodernistic and post-post, pre-post, postmodernistic, post. There's all kinds of different shitas, and where does it come from? Listen to what he says, a Lashon. Says the Chavis Lubavitch, you know, that this is like in everything in the world, not just in Torah. First you learn the basics, and then Hashem puts new ideas in your mind, incredible ideas. Where does this guy get this idea for this incredible architectural thing? It's such a beautiful thing, it's such an interesting idea. He says, it's doime kimat l'nevua me'esel l'kim. It's like a prophecy from Hashem. And he says, it's so to speak, he's trying to tell us that Hashem made it. Then every area, even in the most mundane material pursuits, totally secular, not Jewish, not religious, Madach, in secular areas we see that once a person has mastered the basics, suddenly most divine things come out. So a person goes to school of music and he learns the basics of music composition, and suddenly he becomes a Beethoven. Where did Beethoven get it from? Zog the Chavis Lubavitch says a shtickel nevua. It's a great thing to hear this, because you wonder sometimes, you know, Beethoven, it's so inspiring, it's so awesome. How could a human being compose these things? How could a human being? I'm the spoil. I don't understand how music is composed. I hop a spiles. How does his mind, the person, compose and put it down and orchestrate everything, all the different instruments, and then the fugue and the counterpoints, and it's just amazing. Says the Chavos of always a shtickel nevuah, and the reason why Hashem gives a nevuah to Beethoven, and he gives a nevuah to the greatest portrait painters and the greatest writers, and they have the such sublime koiches, is only to give us a glimpse how in Ruchnius we have the same thing. If a guy could have this idea that he wants to grow in his field, and Beethoven didn't suffice by playing Mary Had a Little Lamb, you know, on his piano, and Bach didn't just suffice by playing Jack and Jill Up the Hill, and he came up with these incredible musical the symphonies. So that means that he's zeichet to a shtickel nevuah. That means we can also be zeichet to nevuah, and nevuah means something that's not from us. It's like a gift from heaven. Says the Chavos Lvov is a person determined that he wants to serve Hashem on a higher level. He wants to go to new levels. He will be zeichet to nevuah. He'll be zeichet to Ruach HaKodesh, which is a shtickel nevuah, that Hashem will guide him, give him ideas of things he never thought about before, and Hashem will give him the actual physical and material and financial wherewithal to accomplish his most amazing dreams. If you can conceive it, you can't achieve it, says the Chavos. If you won't achieve it, it'll be a gift from Hashem. It's a gift from the Rabbanu Shlom. It's a merit to Gazach. And he says, in every Chokhmah, when a person is mismaster b'limuda, when a person is fully dedicated, now a good violinist spends 6 hours a day practicing, minimum. 6 hours, even the best. And Yitzhak Perma is still doing 6 hours a day. He's not shy, whether he gets rusty. And Yo-Yo Ma on his cello is still 6 hours a day, minimum practicing. But when a person gives himself over entirely to his particular field, musmasa limudav, who might say belia belibai, koyach ruchni elyon, suddenly he finds in his heart a spiritual power which comes from above, that it's impossible that any human being can come up on his own. It's not shy. You can't say, because I practice so much, that's why it was this whole new level of music, this whole new level of art. It's not shaykh. It's impossible. It has to be a gift from the Rabbanu Shlom. And he says, this is shot in the Gemara in Baba Basra, Dav Yud Beis Amud Aleph, actually Yud Beis Amud Beis, I believe. The Gemara says that Chacham Odif Minavi. Chacham is Odif Minavi. What does that mean? And there's another passage he brings from Eov, because it says, Ochein Ruach Yibbe Enosh, V'nishmas Shaddai Tivinein. Which means, when a man arouses the spirit, Ochein Ruach Yibbe Enosh, then Nishmas Shaddai Tivinein, then Hashem's, the soul, which comes from Hashem, you know, the soul's not inside of us, the soul's above us, the ruach is inside of us, but the soul is just touching us, it's above us. If a person puts his nefesh and his ruach, the parts of our life and vitality that we own, so to speak, that we have inside of us, if we give them over entirely to any particular project, then nishma shadai tivinein, then the soul of, which belongs to God, will give us new havana, new insight, new perception that no human being can possibly acquire through a direct, his own efforts. And that's with everything. That's a chacham other navi. That the chacham can arouse a nevuah higher than the navi itself. In other words, the neviim, who it means to say that chachma is it makes nevuah. There is chacham other navi because the navi is what you got, and chachma is the source where you can create nevuah. You create nevuah by if I do chachma to the ultimate. I put myself into practicing my particular field, or whatever it is, in math, and economics, and physics, and chemistry, anything it might be. I'll be zochim in the shemayim. So where does that come up? A new product, a new drug. It's so amazing. Drugs, it's such an amazing, where do they come up with these ideas for new drugs, and drugs that control your brain, and then go to this part of the brain, that part of the brain, this part of the body, that part of the body. It's so amazing. The answer is the person studied pharmacology, and he studied pharmacology as much as he could. And then in the schus, that he was totally given over to pharmacology, his whole being is totally absorbed in pharmacology, Hashem will give him a chivish, something, a new breakthrough, then he'll come up with something brand new, a whole new concept. And then today we take pasteurization for granted, we take all the scientific things for granted, every vaccine we take for granted. I remember when I was a kid, when the salt vaccine came out, wow, that was, polio was rampant in the 50s, it was such a chiddush. Today we don't even think about polio, we think polio was mamash a gefer l'chamachla. And was Jonas Salk, who was the first, there was Salk, the guy, there were two fellows, one the oral Sabin, but Salk was the first one. It was such a chiddush, a Salk vaccine. I remember seeing people in those iron lungs when I was a kid, there were people in iron lungs. Polio was a real thing. Even the President of the United States had it, Roosevelt. He died before I was born, not that old. But it was a real thing. So who put into the salt this chiddush to make a salt? It was the whole world was rejoicing. Everyone was so happy. It was a gift from the Rebbeinu Shlom that Hashem gave him since he researched so long and so hard. So Hashem put in his brain the eureka, the final concept that made the salt vaccine. So says the Chavos of Avos, by this and everything. It's in everything the Rebbeinu Shlom gives gifts. And this is the whole Yisrael of the Omer we've been talking about throughout the Omer period. That when we count the days, and we do the little bit we can, Hashem gives us a gift of Shabbos, Tamimais, of full weeks, which is a gift. A Shabbos is a gift. Hashem gives us big gifts. We do the little bit we can. Hashem says it's the big thing. This is the Doshtein Chavos of Avos. When a person has ambitions and Ruchnias, and Gashmias too. But in Ruchnias, we should learn from the Gashmias of the world. Just like there's gifts of insight and origination and invention. Certainly, Kol Shekein, the Kol Shekein and Ruchnias, we only have to dream and we have to have ambition to do more than we ever dreamt of. So we should dream of being big tzaddikim, of being bigger Talmid Chachamim, of going beyond our present restrictions. This is the 20. But not finished though. This, but when we get finished, we'll learn next Sunday. So next Sunday we'll have the shiur. Why not? The Tzer Shuas. But you better learn next Sunday. Okay. So we're in the middle of Rabbi Issa of this meditation, and we will continue what he says in Mitzvah Hashem next Sunday. Rabbi Shanai Bekav Shomer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakeh Yisrael Levi, Mitzvah Hashem, 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 Mitzvah Hashem